Coming up on today's episode, we got a fun one here today, y'all. The Miami Dolphins are 1-0. The Miami Dolphins are first place in the AFC East. Listen, what better way to start this Mike McDaniel era than with a damn win against Bill Belichick? That's right, a win against the New England Patriots. Listen, Dolphins are 1-0. Best believe I'm going to be recapping that game, giving you guys my takeaways, letting you guys know how I feel about all the players' performances, including quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Was I high on the performance? Can he improve? Did I think it was a crap performance? Listen, a lot of talk about. And then after that, Theo Berry is a Ravens fan. Got to know him through Twitter. Awesome guy. Asked me to be on his podcast to preview the Dolphins versus Ravens game. So joined this podcast, and it was a good conversation. You know, you hear things from his side of things. You hear things from the Ravens side. Hear things from my side as well. He asked me a couple questions. I asked him some questions. And I took that, put that right into this podcast. I think you guys would love hearing that. Great insight there. So I did add that in. And then after that, you know what time it is. It's always time. Always time to make some money. My best bets and predictions for week two. Had a so-so week one. I mean, it was a crazy week one, but we're going to talk about that. And yeah, really fun podcast. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Dolphins 1-0, baby. Let's do this. Welcome to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast for another episode here for you guys here today. And man, what a damn Sunday it was. What a damn week one it was for the Miami Dolphins. We have Miami Dolphins football to talk about. And listen, what better way to start the season off but with a damn win? Now you can talk about, was it an impressive win? We'll touch on that. Was it a win that you are excited about, that you feel like, wow, like this team is going to go to the Super Bowl? Not quite, which we're going to talk about. But listen, at the end of the day, we got Dolphins football to talk about for you guys here today. And a win is a win. You're starting the season first place, tied for first place, 1-0. That's it. That's all that matters at the end of the day. When the season is over, they look at standings, and you look at wins, and you look at losses. So how you win, quietly, it matters to a certain extent, but not entirely. Like at the end of the day, in week 17, are you really looking forward to how you won that game week one? Or are you looking at what we have to do that current week to get into the playoffs, which is where this Dolphins team and this Dolphin fan base wants to get to ultimately, right? Listen, a win is a win. I am excited, especially when you're going up against a Bill Belichick coach team that had all offseason, all entire offseason, the whole summer to prepare to go against Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins and Tyreek Hill, and the Dolphins still came out on top. That's impressive stuff. It's a division rival. It's Coach Belichick. You got a division win, man. You beat Bill Belichick. That's how you start the season? That's something you'll take, especially as a Dolphin fan. I will absolutely take it. But let's talk about the game, and let's talk about how I feel about the game. So first and foremost, throughout the first half, I mean, it was a little bit of a concern to me, to say the least. First of all, I love that the intensity that the defense played with. I mean, the defense came to freaking ball from the jump. I mean, that looked exactly like the defense that we're so used to seeing over the last couple years with this Miami Dolphins team. I saw Brandon Jones getting after it. I mean, not only blitzing, but also in coverage. I mean, how about that? You know, usually people say, hey, Brandon Jones is a little bit of a blitzer, but now playing in coverage, love to see that. Absolutely love to see that. The pass rushing, I did like the pass rushing. I expected a little bit more from a run stopping standpoint. I thought we gave up a lot of yardage in the first half in particular, but I think the Dolphins settled in. They figured out how to stop the run, and they did play better stopping the run throughout the game. Now, how about Javon Holland? If you remember on my YouTube channel, last year I said, this guy is going to be a star. It's on my YouTube channel. I said he was an emerging star, and boy, is he. I mean, after one damn season in the NFL only, this guy starts the season off with an interception. Now, Xavien Howard does get credit for that because Xavien Howard was in coverage. He tipped the ball. Javon Holland caught it. But at the same time, Javon Holland got the interception. It counts on his stats. And Javon Holland was at the right place at the right time. So he absolutely deserves credit. I mean, Javon Holland is so freaking special. Listen, I can go on all day about the potential of this guy. I mean, what he can do, what he brings to this defense that's already loaded, that's already used to capitalizing off turnovers. Javon Holland was big time, by the way. Xavien Howard, I thought he played a great game shutting down Devontae Parker. He did get called for a penalty, which I thought was a BS call, by the way. But I thought Xavien Howard played a good game. I thought the entire defense played a good game. I mean, wow. Javon Holland was getting after it, like I said. The pass rushing was there. You know, Javon Holland, Brandon Jones, a lot of eye-popping stuff. And then also, Brandon Jones forcing the fumble. Melvin Ingram with the scoop and the touchdown. How about Melvin Ingram? Melvin Ingram was a guy that I've been beating the drum for a couple years. Hey, Dolphins, sign Melvin Ingram, please. Sign this veteran pass rusher. We need a pass rusher. This guy's one of the best of the best. And how about that? Scoop and score for the touchdown. And also made a damn good impact putting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, didn't rack up with the sacks. But hey, he was constantly putting pressure on Mac Jones. So Melvin Ingram also gets a big, big thumbs up right there. Defense played awesome. I thought we were reliant a lot on the defense. That's how I felt in the first half. Felt a little bit like last year. Like, man, we're just relying on this defense. This defense is playing lights out. They're getting us the stops that we need. But where is this offense? Where is this offense at all training camp? Everyone's talking about that Mike McDaniel's, you know, establishing this new system. And, you know, we get the Cedric Wilsons of the world. We get the Tyreek Hill of the world. Now, Tyreek Hill, the dude's a stud. I mean, everything I'm saying now, Tyreek Hill's excluded from all this. A++. Like, welcome to Miami. Thank you. Thank you, Tyreek Hill. Thank you. The other guys, Tua in particular. The running game in particular. I mean, the running game was non-existent, first of all. The running game finished 12 carries for 25 yards for Chase Edmonds. Raheem Mostert, 5 carries for 16 yards. That's not cutting it. That's not cutting it, especially from a team that is supposed to be run-first team. That's supposed to be, Mike McDaniel's specialty. He's a run game specialist, right? I mean, where's the running? I mean, 65 yards only? Really? That's got to be better. Like, that's got to be better. But back to the point I'm making, I felt like Tua was very, very dependent on Tyreek Hill. Now, you have him there. Of course, you're going to use him. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you pay all this money for Tyreek Hill, you're going to use him. But I felt like so many times Tua was just throwing Tyreek Hill's way all the time. And I felt like nothing else was really getting going. I mean, we saw one catch by Gesicki, one catch by Smythe, you know, Jaylen Waddle before the half. Now, I'll get into that in just a second. Caught one ball, but there was no really, you know, throws where you're like, wow, man, what a throw by Tua. Like, oh my goodness, Tua, way to sling that. That's a little bit concerning to me because I do believe that Tua is going to be a successful quarterback in this league. I do believe that Tua has the tools to be a successful quarterback in this league. I love the accuracy. I love the pocket presence. I love his mentality, his work ethic, all of the above fits the bill. But man, I expected to go into week one and see this, you know, New England Patriots secondary who has fallen off a step. I mean, they lost J.C. Jackson. I expected Tua with these new weapons, like everybody has been hyping about all offseason. I expected to see Tua go out there and sling the ball, like just get, you know, he finished with 270 yards. Maybe I'm being a little bit too greedy, but one touchdown pass, I expected three. I expected 300 yards maybe at least. And I expected a lot of plays to have me like, wow, Tua, what a throw. Like, ooh, man, there were a couple in there. Don't get me wrong. But I just expected more is what I'm trying to say. Now, thankfully to his credit, he was able to zip a beautiful ball to Jaylen Waddle's hands that had the New England Patriots defenders just crashing into each other before Waddle took it to the house 4-7 right before the half, which I thought was crucial. It gave the Dolphins a 17-0 lead going into the halftime, and it also gave that offense the confidence that they needed. Because like I said, it was very Tyreek Hill dependent. It was very stagnant, not really putting points on the board. But then right there, right at the right time, right after I actually tweeted that during the game, I said, listen, I need seven here right before the half. The offense is not looking good. Connects to Waddle, which I wanted to see Waddle get involved. for the touchdown. I mean, Jalen Waddle also, he finished with four receptions for 69 yards, one touchdown. Like I said, it was a 42-yard touchdown. Only got targeted five times. Now, Jalen Waddle was the guy that was getting targeted, it seemed like, every single play in the Miami Dolphins offense last year. Only seeing five targets, that was a little bit surprising to me. Not gonna lie, but Tyreek Hill did get 12 targets. He caught eight receptions for 94 yards, so a lot of the targets went Tyreek Hill's way. I mean, that's just the fact of what it was. I mean, I'm just calling it like I see it. But I thought the Dolphins' defense was amazing throughout. And like I said, getting that touchdown right before halftime was extremely important for this Dolphins offense. Like I said, put them up 17-0 going into half. But the second half, listen, we won this game 20-7. Okay? The New England Patriots are not a good football team. Yeah, I respect the Patriots. Yes, I get it. They've won six titles. Yes, Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches of all time. Yeah. But listen, it's a new era. All right. Mac Jones making the top 100 list. I'm sorry. Mac Jones is not it. You know, the CBS broadcast talking about Mac Jones had a great season. Stop. I mean, Bill Belichick doesn't even think that. There was a game last year where they played where they ran the ball the entire game. Mac Jones ain't it. The New England Patriots ain't it. Besides Judon, honestly, nobody in that Patriots team honestly scares me. I mean, the team is trash. The team is not good. Bill Belichick is not feared by anybody anymore. This is a new era. The Miami Dolphins are here. This is a Dolphins and Bills division. Like, I'm just calling it like I see it. That's a fact. Right? But because I say that, when you're at home, when I feel the way I feel about the Patriots team, like I just told you, I expected us to just keep the foot on the gas and just get these guys out of town, like right away. Now, the Patriots scored 7 points. They outscored us 7-3 in the second half. We only put up 3 points in the second half. So the game finished 20-7. I was alarmed by that. I think it's concerning. You know, Dolphin fans, I don't want to be able to tell you guys, hey, don't enjoy the win. Don't be happy about the win. But when you go through what we've been through as a fan base, you know, I myself can attest to this. I'm a huge Dolphin fan, as you guys know. We've been through so much, and we've been through so many years of expectations and getting our hopes down where we were cautious to believe again. But when you see that this team added, you know, the left tackle that they needed in Teron Armstead, they added the wide receiving group that they added, which is Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, a pair with Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. The defense is still intact. You got a new coach, right? A coach that believes in your quarterback. It's an offensive-minded coach. With all that being said, your expectations are high. Like, you get that belief again. So with those expectations, you expect to see results, especially when you're going against a crappy New England Patriots team, especially when you got Baltimore next week on the road, followed by Buffalo, followed by Cincy, who made the Super Bowl. You guys get where I'm going? This right here was a game to make a statement. This right here was a game to get all them stats, have this fan base believe Tua to have a game of his life, and give us that, like, wow, you are that guy that has been working all offseason and it totally paid off. But he didn't show that. I mean, 3 points in the second half, that's not going to cut it. That was a little bit concerning to me. And also, Tua almost had two interceptions thrown. I mean, there were a couple instances where he was not going down. Like, he was about to get sacked, and he was trying to make something out of nothing. Almost resulted in a turnover. And another time, Tyreek Hill had to pull the ball out of somebody else's hand to save an interception. Like, Tua's got to be smarter. Like, these are not the type of things that you want to see from a year three quarterback. And that's got to improve. At the end of the day, though, the Dolphins did get a win, okay? They only had four penalties, which is good. A little bit, you know, boneheaded ones. One was a bad call as well, so I don't credit them from the penalty standpoint. Offensive line from the right side, I think they played very bad. That's got to improve. Connor Williams, snapping issues continues, by the way. He did not play a good game, especially early on. The left side, I like what I saw from the left side. I love what I saw from Teron Armstead, even though he went down, but luckily he came back. Tua played an okay game. Listen, at the end of the day, the dude had, he was 23 for 33, 270 yards, a touchdown, and zero turnovers. Listen, you can argue that it should have been this, should have been that, but the fact is, Like I said in the beginning, a win is a win. You'll take it. All right? There's no turnovers at the end of the day. Nobody's going to forget that there was an almost interception. So, got to call it like I see it. Tua had an okay game. Tua had an average game. In my opinion, it looks like a really good game, but to me, it was an average game. There's a lot of potential. I expect a lot more from Tua. And this is only week one. So I expect him to look at the film. I expect him to clean things up. I expect Tua to be better. Listen, the season isn't over. I'm not going to sit here and say, this is the same exact Tua. He's not going to grow. Get him out of here. No, I need to see this season go through. I need to see this man look at film, develop as a quarterback, get better, fix his mistakes. And if you're not turning the ball over and winning football games, listen, winning cures everything. So we're going to take that. But you got to take it with a grain of salt. It's only week one. Like I said, Tyreek Hill was amazing. Jaylen Waddle was good. I want to see him involved more. The running game, by the way, that's something that I think needs to be fixed ASAP, because I think this offense will feed off a dominant running game. I think a dominant running game will open up the play action for Tua. It'll make it a lot easier and also make it easier for the wide receivers as well. So that's something I'm looking forward to week two. But hey, man, the Dolphins got to win. The Dolphins are 1-0, and the Dolphins beat the New England Patriots. And I mentioned this on the live stream that I did for the Basement Sports Network. Those of you guys who are not following, check that out. Post-game shows, by the way, at the conclusion of the Dolphins games. I said, shout out to the New England Patriot fans that attended Hard Rock Stadium. Thank you for coming to Miami. Thank you for your business. Thank you for enjoying the weather. Thank you for enjoying that game. Thank you for enjoying that L. And I hope you had a great flight back to New England or wherever the hell you guys are from, because your stay was welcomed. And sorry to say, this is a new era. Dolphins are better than you. Get over it. Get used to it, because this is not changing whatsoever. Dolphins win. Dolphins start 1-0. What a time. Let's see if we could build that momentum going into week two, though. All right, so let's jump into this week two preview between the Miami Dolphins and the Baltimore Ravens with my guy, Theo Berry, on his podcast right here.
Hey everybody, welcome back. I am with Nando Diaz with Miami Sports Vibes. You can find him on Twitter at SportsVibes305. I really appreciate you joining me today, Nando.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk football. Where week one is in the books already, and I feel like it already went by so fast. But thanks for having me, my brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, it went by super quick. Like, it came and left, and it's like, no. Now you just know. Now, at this point, it's kind of like you're counting down the days for it to end. Like, oh, no. As opposed to when it ends, you're counting down the days for it to start. So it was a quick week one. And you're a Miami guy. So let's talk about your team. You guys won 20-7 over the Patriots. Tua, he went 23 for 33, 270 yards. He had a touchdown. And he had a 78.3 QBR. With 104 pass rating. What did you see out of Tua on Sunday that you thought, okay, maybe this year might be different for him?
All right, well, what I saw from Tua in week one versus what I've seen all training camp and offseason was completely different. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I know a lot of people may say otherwise, especially from the Dolphins fan base, because they treat Tua like he is – you know, the real deal. And the fact of the matter is he has not proven it. He has not proven it to me, and he's not proven it yet. I mean, he's only shown to be an average quarterback at best with rooms of improvement. And I do think he has a lot of the tools that he can improve. But throughout the whole offseason, training camp, you see all the videos, you see all the hype, you know, had the connection with Tyreek Hill. This guy's going to be this, you know, improved quarterback coming into year three. You get the right coach. You get the offensive line built. And you go in there on Sunday, and for the whole entire first half, it looked like we were just relying on our defense all over again, just like last year. Like, our defense put us on the board. There was a lot of three and outs. I mean, Tua could not really get the offense going. Now, when he threw to Tyreek Hill caught mostly everything. I mean, he had 12 targets had 8 receptions, but that's Tyreek Hill. Like, he's going to make plays for you. And I just saw a guy back there that was just so Tyreek Hill hungry, but not making any plays that wowed me. I didn't sit there at all and said, wow, what a play. Now, he did get a touchdown to Jaylen Waddle before the half. That was impressive. Like, if it wasn't for that play, I think it was going to be an average game for Tua. But because of that play, it elevated his stats. His stats look better at the end of the day. We had a 17-0 lead at the half, but we only won 20-7. So we got outscored in the second half, 7-3. So it's very important, you know, that you ask me this question, because a lot of your, you know, the Ravens fan base, they probably look at the box score and say, hey, Tua had a good game. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, it was a lot of the same Tua that you saw last year. Now, that can improve. You know, you look at the film, you can get better. But honestly, after week one, I'm feeling just to say the least.
Well, I mean, the good part is you got to start out week one, and you were at home, and you got the job done against the New England Patriots. The defense actually looked really good, and I want to move over a little bit to the defense. What takeaways did you get from your defense? I mean, I've been high on Miami's defense, especially because of last year, what you guys did to my team in Baltimore, how fast and how flying you guys are. What did you see out of your defense that made you think, okay, you know, maybe the defense can win us some games this season? I was just wanting to know, what do you think the defense, what did you see out of the defense to make you think they can win you some games this season?
The defense, honestly, has been top-notch, just like last year. You know, there was some concern because Brian Flores was a defensive head coach. Now, obviously, we don't have Flores here anymore. We have Mike McDaniel. A lot of people were making a little bit of noise saying, is the Dolphins defense still going to be a top defense? And I had that concern myself. But man, I mean, this past weekend, they looked at the same level they were last year. I mean, they were getting after it. Javon Holland especially had an interception. That's a guy who played big time against your Baltimore Ravens last year. That guy is amazing. And this is only his second year. Like, the dude is still so raw and has so much potential to be even better. I thought Xavier Howard, who was a shutdown corner, I thought he played a really good game. Got called for a penalty, which I didn't agree with. The pass rushing was good. You got after Mac Jones. You forced an interception. You forced a fumble. And maybe it was two fumbles, if I'm not mistaken. But I think there were three total turnovers. There was definitely two. So the fact that you were able to do that against a Bill Belichick coach team, that shows a lot of, you know, reasons to be optimistic. The running game is something that we struggle stopping. In the beginning, they were running all after it. We did adjust, so to their credit, good job. But I'm still not comfortable with us being able to stop the run, and that concerns me, especially because your Baltimore Ravens guy, I mean, that's your bread and butter. That's what you guys feed off. So that's a bit of a concern. So you guys should be able to really, really attack us with the run game. But I feel great about the defense overall. Stopping the run has something that's been always an issue. But it's nice to see that this defense is still capitalizing and getting turnovers and putting points on the board.
Yeah, and that was always a plus with you guys' defense. And Javon Holland, he's a heck of a safety.
Oh, yeah.
and I'm a big fan of him. Now, when we look at this matchup, this is my game of the week, which is why you're here, right? Yes. The Dolphins traveling to Baltimore to play the Ravens. On paper, you say this is going to be a pretty good matchup, right? And you see a team where you say the Dolphins can't really stop the run. You would think that's the Ravens' bread and butter. The Ravens actually haven't run the ball very well at the end of last season, and including Sunday, could not get the run game going. And a little bit of it is a test to the offensive line not getting enough push. And here, the problem I also have is with the NFL in general, which is not playing in the preseason. I think the offensive line of every team needs that time to gel together, create those holes. And then we had a lot of injuries in the offensive line in the offseason as well, with Tyler Linderbaum not getting much time. And then Ronnie Stanley, you know, I don't anticipate him playing this week. So, and then with the injury to Juwan James, tearing his Achilles again,
I saw that.
You're seeing Patrick McCarry started at left tackle, and he actually fared pretty well at left tackle. He played right tackle last year. So I think that's going to be interesting. I want to see how much pressure Miami comes at Baltimore with. Last year, they were bringing zero blitzes. It seemed like every single play, and the Ravens had no counter for it. I wonder if they do that again this year. Differently coached team in the Dolphins, of course, like we talked about just earlier. When you look at this matchup, what are you seeing as the keys to the Dolphins to win this football game?
Well, I'm going to just start off by saying I don't feel confident in this game at all. I actually fear the Baltimore Ravens, and the reason why is because I've been up to Baltimore a couple times, and we've gotten 40-pieced out of there. And besides the last, you know, the last game we played, which was last year, you guys have been owning us, and that's just a fact. Like, I honestly fear the Baltimore Ravens' physicality from a physicality standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, and even though, you know, we talked a little bit before about your coaching situation, but you guys have just always been a level above us. Your quarterback is better, and it's been like that. Even before, you had Flacco, we had Tannehill. Like, this is just a team that I just have tons of respect for. Just the way they play, the way they ran. So I'm a little bit, I don't feel like we're going to win this game, but if I had to say what are the keys to victory, like what needs to happen for this Miami Dolphins team to go out there and get a win, I think it is, first of all, just try to take away the run as much as you can. If you can throw out zero blitzes again, that obviously worked last year. I'm expecting Harbaugh to be ready for that type of stuff, but go with what worked last year. See how that goes. See if you can get something going there. And also, I think the run game has to be something that Miami needs to get going. I mean, Mike McDaniel was brought here to be this run game specialist. He's an offensive guru. And last week against the Patriots, I mean, our top carrier was Chase Edmonds, 12 carries for 25 yards. I'm not liking that. Our second guy was Raheem Mostert, 5 carries for 16 yards. That's no good. Now, I saw that the Jets had some success running the football against you guys. Michael Carter did have a couple nice runs, and Hall as well got involved a little bit. At the end of the day, I would love some type of run game to get going there. It can open up the pass game for guys like Tyreek Hill to get going, Jalen Waddle as well. There are a lot of targets that Tua can spread the ball to, but I think it all starts with establishing that run game to establish a play action going and then trying to make Lamar a thrower. I mean, you know, a lot of people say that he can't throw the ball. I think he has improved as a passer personally, but I'd rather you guys beat us passing than killing us with the run, because the way I said about this defense, stopping the run worries me. But if we can make Lamar beat us in the passing game, I think the game will be close, and then that's all I can ask for. It'll be a toss-up in the fourth quarter, and the better team wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I like this matchup for a couple of reasons. Me on the Baltimore side, you know, it presents a unique challenge, right? I think Miami's going to force Baltimore to prove that a wide receiver can beat them. I think they're going to press up a man because right now a lot of the Ravens receivers are unknown. Yeah, Devin Duvernay had two touchdowns on Sunday. Rashad Bateman had a deep touchdown. Miami's a different beast. They can play man across the board and see what you got, and they can bring a blitz with it as well. And I anticipate seeing that again. Greg Roman, the Ravens offensive coordinator, even after the Miami game last year, had no answer for all-out blitz. None whatsoever all year. And especially when Lamar went down. But I expect Miami to test this offensive line. See, can they hold up? See if they can protect Lamar. I expect a really good game. Now, defensively, Baltimore stops the run very well. They did Breece Hall did get a little wiggle room. Michael Carter had a little wiggle room on Sunday against Baltimore. I anticipate that cleaned up a little bit more. Patrick Queen played his butt off on Sunday, and he gives my props at linebacker. This new defense installed by Mike McDaniel, very disciplined, less blitzes. It forces, but they still get after the quarterback pretty well. Justin Houston played very well on Sunday as well. I'm expecting a very good game. I'm shocked this was even put in the 1 o'clock lineup, but you know, it was an easy pick as game of the week, especially now with Dak Prescott out, because all the alternative was the Bengals Cowboys. But with Dak Prescott being out, I don't see that as much as a game. So we're going to wrap up here, Nando. Tell me your score prediction. You told me you don't think Miami's going to win. So tell me what the score you expect here.
Yeah, well, before I give you that, I actually want to ask you, what are your concerns from your Baltimore Ravens team following week one? I just want to know that before I give you my prediction here. I want to get a feel from how you feel about your squad.
I don't know if Tua can do it, but what does scare me is taking the top off of the Ravens secondary, especially Kyle Fuller now is out for the season with the torn ACL. We don't know if Marcus Peters is going to be ready to play this week. I think a lot of the guys, they're looking at that week four game against the Bills to bring back. So what scares me is taking the top off of our defense. And also the underneath stuff, the tight ends. I think we give up a lot of passing yards to tight ends. And Miami has a couple of good ones. I love Mike Gesicki. I don't know why Miami is pretty low on him, but I think he can hurt Baltimore in the middle of defense. Baltimore now, what did they do in the offseason? They went out. They got a bunch of big safeties. You got Chuck Clark playing near the line of scrimmage. You got Kyle Hamilton playing on the back end, rookie out of Notre Dame. Then you got Marcus Williams, who caught a pick for Baltimore on Sunday. Baltimore's going to be really physical with Miami. However, I believe Miami can actually push back with the physicality. It's not a team that, you know, you can go to New York and you can bully a football team. Miami is a team that, and I think Brian Flores started it with you guys, but he started building some toughness in Miami to where you guys get punched and you punch back. And I'm really anticipated to see that. I mean, and also in the trenches. Your guys can really put pressure on the quarterback. I know you guys only had two sacks against Mac Jones, but the Ravens offensive line is you know, it sucks to say beat up at the start of a season, but you just lost your left tackle still isn't back, right? And then you have your backup left tackle tear his Achilles, which scares me automatically because now you're playing a third string left tackle. Now, people in Baltimore will say Patrick McCarthy is not a third string anything because he could play every position along the offensive line. But my saying has always been if you're decent at everything, that means you're not good at anything. So just because you can play every position, I don't really see a benefit in that, but I'm nervous that Baltimore's going to get after Lamar Jackson. But I still like the Ravens to win this game. This is my unbiased opinion. I just think this will be a really hard fought game. My game of the week for a reason, not just because Baltimore's playing. I just think this will be the best game on TV on Sunday. And I'm anticipating a dogfight where, like you said, it can come down to the fourth quarter and the better team wins. And I just believe that Baltimore is the better team out of the two.
All right. I respect that. And I also agree with you. I mean, I told you the keys to victory is trying to make Lamar a thrower, getting this run game going. But quite frankly, the way I see that you guys are built, I don't trust the Miami Dolphins to be able to go ahead into Baltimore for their home opener, where the crowd is going to be nuts. I don't expect the Dolphins to get this run game going. I think, and also the offensive line for us is not good. I mean, you're only good on the left side with Teron Armstead. That right side played so bad. Putting pressure on Tua will cause him to turn the ball over. There were a couple instances where he should have turned the ball over. He should have had two interceptions, but luckily Patriots dropped it. Tyreek Hill saved them off one. That's not something you want to see out of a year three quarterback. And I think Baltimore is not going to be a team that's going to drop picks. I think they're going to be way more disciplined. They're going to be fired up, especially at home. I don't trust this Dolphins offense to get going from a rushing standpoint. I think Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. He's going to get his. You can double him. You can try to do whatever he wants, but the dude is so freaking fast and so talented. I think Tyreek Hill gets his. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a competitive game. I think we punch back. Like you said, Brian Flores did kind of start something that I have liked that from what I saw. So it's going to be different. You know, usually Baltimore just comes in and smacks the Dolphins. I think it's going to be a dogfight for a majority of the game. I think it's going to be a close first half where, you know, the Ravens are trying to get something going on offense. Kind of one of those where you're feeling each other out. But I think second half, I think Baltimore pulls away. And I think you guys feed off that home crowd energy. And I got the Baltimore Ravens beating my Dolphins 31-17. Now I'm going to this game.
Let me know when you're up here, man. Let me know when you get up here.
You going?
I probably won't go, but let me know when you're up here, man.
I'll let you know. It's only a 3-hour drive from me. I stay in New Jersey. So I'll be up there. I'll definitely hit you up. And I'll be at that game. So I'm hoping that my Dolphins win. But if I had to be honest with you, I'm a realist at the end of the day. I got my Dolphins losing. I got you guys winning your home opener. 31-17. That's all right. You know, I've seen my boys lose 40-6 when I went to a game in Baltimore. So 31-17 is all right. But let's see, man. It's any given Sunday. Anything can happen. But I just, you guys with the home crowd, and I don't like this spot for my Dolphins. I got Ravens winning 31-17.
Yeah, I have a Ravens I have Ravens winning this game 28-24. Now, I like the Dolphins if they do this one thing, and this is where I'm really scared with Baltimore. If the Dolphins come out and start the game hot, I'm really scared for Baltimore because what Baltimore has shown to do recently in the past year, including on Sunday, they start really slow. And if Miami can capitalize on that and actually get started with a good – one thing I don't trust Baltimore with is game script. I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. I think – I don't know what they do during the week at practice, but game scripts are horrible in Baltimore. And that's okay. But if Miami comes out and they execute in the beginning, early in the game, Baltimore doesn't come alive until the second quarter. And that's the way that I can see Miami winning this football game. If they go up, it's not that I don't think Lamar Jackson can come back in a football game. I've seen him do it. I think he can. It's just I think Miami's defense is too good to have to play from behind. So, again, but I have Baltimore winning 28-24. Nando, I really appreciate you joining me. Let me know when you're in town, dude. We'll definitely catch up. My in-laws actually have a bar downtown, so let me know. Okay. It's right on the way to the stadium, so we can definitely stop by there. I appreciate it, man.
All right, so staying on subject with week two, we're shifting things on over here with my favorite part of the podcast, favorite part of the NFL season when I'm not talking about the Dolphins. That's right. It's time for NFL predictions. All right, welcome back. And it is now week two of the NFL season, which means we got some more football to talk about. We got a lot of games to break down. Breaking down the point spreads, I'm giving you guys my picks against the spread and my straight up picks, just like I did last week. Listen, last week for week one, it did not go as planned. Let me just tell you that right now. I mean, I went 9-6-1. Don't like that at all. I mean, I have to be better. 9-6-1 is not acceptable. Shout out to the tie. Thank you, Colts. Just kidding. I mean, you messed up my damn record there already. Just 1 week in and we already have a tie? That's crazy. Almost had two ties at that. And my record against the spread was 9-7. Listen, I can be better than that. I sure as hell will be better than that. But listen, week one had a lot of different situations go down that I was not expecting. And I know a lot of people were caught by surprise. But hey, flip the page. Week two, let me give you guys my picks against the spread and straight picks. And then afterwards, I will be sharing my best bets of the week. I'm going to be doing this every single week, just like I did in week one. We did cash the Bills money line pick. And then the parlay that I got as well, Ravens and Broncos, two-leg parlay. That didn't hit, but if you stayed tuned to my Twitter page, which be sure to follow it at SportsVibes305. I did tell you guys, make sure you hedge your bets. Always hedge your bets. I mean, that's just gambling 101. Whenever you have the last leg of your parlay, always hedge. Always hedge by taking the opposing team on the money line just to secure yourself winnings and profit at the end of the day. That's what it's all about. Will your winnings be the same as they would if your original one hits? Absolutely not. But winning is winning at the end of the day, and that's what you want to make sure you get. But week two of the NFL season starts with a damn good game, and that is the Los Angeles Chargers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Man, Patrick Mahomes, though. I mean, the dude was on fire week one, and I honestly expected that. I mean, listen, Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and now without Tyreek Hill and you have this team around him, I'm just like, this team is perfect for Patrick Mahomes. And hey, he lit them boys up. I mean, Arizona cannot stop that Chiefs offense. They're at home here. I like them against the Chargers. Yeah, the Chargers played them tough last year. Yeah, the Chargers beat them once last year. But listen to me. I am taking the Kansas City Chiefs straight up. However, I'm taking the Chargers plus the 4.5. Listen, division game. They have an improved defense. Like I said, they beat them once before. I don't think they win the game, but I like them to keep it close. I think the Chiefs win by 3. Therefore, give me the Chargers plus 4.5. Next, the Washington Commanders, which I'm still getting used to, by the way, are taking on the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are actually favored in this game. I mean, I kid you not. The Lions are favored. When is the last time that the Detroit Lions have been favored in a game? Listen, I can't answer that because I don't know. But listen, I am riding that. I'm riding that. I am taking the Detroit Lions, and I'm taking the Detroit Lions -1.5. Give me that. Like, I'm on board with this Dan Campbell, change the culture, play gritty football, play some inspiring football, and never give up. That's one thing that this Detroit Lions team does. They don't give up. Give me the Lions. Give me the Lions -1.5 as well. Next game on the slate, the New York Jets taking on the Cleveland Browns and Jacoby Brissett. I mean, listen, this is the type of game that Dolphin fans just throw up about, right? Listen, I'm taking the Cleveland Browns. Not much needs to be said here. Cleveland is favored by -5.5. I am also laying the points. Give me Cleveland -5.5 and Cleveland to win straight up. Next, Tampa Bay Buccaneers going on the road to take on the New Orleans Saints. Now, New Orleans, like, won this game this past Sunday on a miracle. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons just completely blew that game, but the Tampa Bay Bucs look good, man. Yeah, they got a couple injuries, this and that, but man, I mean, Tom Brady looks as fired up as ever, and that's just crazy. I mean, year 23 and Tom Brady is still doing it, but listen, he's had struggles in New Orleans. New Orleans knows how to play Tom Brady. They showed it last year. They showed it the year before. New Orleans is not the favorite here, but they're at home. Listen, I'm taking the Bucs. I'm taking Tampa Bay and Tom Brady and the Bucs here on the road. But when it comes to the spread, give me the New Orleans Saints +2.5 points. I like that spot there for them. Next on the board, the Carolina Panthers taking on the New York Giants. This is the Giants' home opener. Giants with a crazy win there against Tennessee, who, listen, the Giants cost a lot of people money. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of people were just hammering, you know, Tennessee -5.5 or putting Tennessee in the parlays. And man, Saquon Barkley and Brian Daboll had something else to say about that. So the New York Giants did end up with a win, which was crazy. I mean, listen, I was shocked. I did not expect that whatsoever. Giants are at home playing against this Carolina Panthers team who should have beat the Cleveland Browns but didn't. I don't think the Panthers are all that at all. And I know the Giants aren't all that either. I know, you know, you get to see Christian McCaffrey, you get to see Saquon Barkley. A lot of talent here from a running back standpoint. But I like the Giants better here. I like the Giants at home. I think home field matters. Give me the Giants to win, and give me the Giants also laying the 2.5 points. Next on the board, the New England Patriots taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game is in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is getting 1.5 points here. New England is the favorite. I don't see it. I didn't like what I saw from New England. I don't think they're a good football team. And listen, Pittsburgh showed me more to believe in them than the New England Patriots did. I don't think either team is that good, but I saw way more out of Pittsburgh than I saw from New England week one. So yeah, Pittsburgh's the underdog, but give me the Steelers here. Give me the Steelers here, and I will also take the Steelers +1.5 against the spread. Next game, the Indianapolis Colts, who ended up with a tie against the Houston Texans. Like, what are you doing? Really? Listen, they're on the road here, taking on another division opponent in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who did play a good football game. I thought should have beat the Commanders, but they didn't. Listen, I like the Colts here. The Colts are the better team. They have to bounce back, right? I mean, no chance you go 0-1-1 falling to Jacksonville. I mean, this is a huge game for the Colts. Many people have the Colts to win the division. I think this game is very, very important against Jacksonville. Give me the Colts to win this game. I love this spot for them. I think they kill them, actually. I don't even think it's close. It'll give me Indy as well, -4.5. And we're going to touch on that Indy -4.5 in just a bit here. Next game, yours truly, Miami Dolphins on the road, where I'll be attending, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. So, you guys heard it already. You heard my prediction. Unfortunately, I wish I could, but I am not taking the Miami Dolphins here. I am taking the Baltimore Ravens to win this game. And also, unfortunately, I am going to be laying the -3.5 for Baltimore. So, I'm taking Baltimore -3.5. And I'm also taking Baltimore to beat the Miami Dolphins. Hey, hopefully I'm wrong. I mean, hopefully me talking all this smack means that the Dolphins are going to win. I mean, I would love that. That's for sure. Next game, the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Rams. Rams starting the season 0-1. They're at home. They got to bounce back. I mean, come on. Not much needs to be said. Give me the Rams here But give me the Falcons getting 10.5 points. I think that is a hefty spread. Plus 10.5 you're getting only in week two. I'll take that. It's just a big number. I don't want to lay 10.5 here. So give me the Falcons plus 10.5, but give me the Rams to win this game. Next, Geno. How about Geno Smith week one, huh? Picking up that win against Russ Wilson. Listen, shout out to the Seahawks, man. Seattle Seahawks going to San Francisco to take on the 49ers, who choked that game and lost to the Chicago Bears. Like, what? What happened there? Listen, I'm taking the Niners to bounce back. However, give me the Niners to win. But Seattle getting 9.5 after the way Geno Smith played? I'll take that. Division opponent, you know, they know how to play them well. Pete Carroll is an awesome coach. I will take Seattle plus 9.5 here. No hesitation whatsoever. San Francisco is down a running back already. They didn't play too inspiring football week one. Seattle did. I like the spot. Give me Seattle plus 9.5, but give me the Niners to win the game at home. Next, the Cincinnati Bengals going on the road to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, Dallas fans, I'm sorry. Dak Prescott out 6 to 8 weeks. Panic time already after just 1 week in the NFL season. Panic time for the Dallas Cowboys. You guys are toast. You guys are done. They go nowhere without Dak Prescott. So give me the Bengals to win this game. But no, I am also laying the 7.5. Give me Cincy minus 7.5 and give me Cincy over the Dallas Cowboys. Next, the Houston Texans taking on the Denver Broncos, who just lost. Really? Broncos lost to Seattle, like I mentioned? I still can't believe that. I mean, Russell Wilson was booed incredibly. Best believe that I think the Broncos come back here. I think the Broncos do come back. I think they bounce back. I think they get a win. Give me the Denver Broncos to win this game. But give me Houston plus 9.5. Listen, that number is way too high for me to lay on week two. I need to see more of it. Give me Houston plus 9.5, like I said, but Broncos to win the game straight up. Next, Arizona Cardinals, who looked terrible week one against the Chiefs, taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, listen, the Vegas Raiders had a lot of issues, a lot of things I didn't like to see week one, but Cardinals didn't show too much there. I'm taking the Raiders. Give me the Raiders here. They're laying 5.5 points. Give me that as well. Vegas Raiders minus 5.5 and straight up as well. Next, you got the Sunday night football game, the Chicago Bears, after winning against the San Francisco 49ers. Justin Fields himself playing in prime time, going against Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, how about that terrible performance week one for the Green Bay Packers? But listen, remember last year, started off bad and bounced back. Don't count out Aaron Rodgers. The man is a bad man. Don't count him out. I'm telling you, we've seen this story before. I need to wait and see before I talk too much crap about the Green Bay Packers. I like the Packers here at home to beat the Bears, but give me the Bears getting 9.5. Same reason I said, 9.5. I'm not laying that week two. No way. So no. Give me the Bears plus 9.5, but I think Green Bay takes care of business here on Sunday Night Football. Then we got two games apparently on Monday night. I didn't know. I don't know why. I don't know if this is a thing. This was a surprise to me. I triple checked, quadruple checked, and yeah, apparently we got two games on Monday night. Tennessee going to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. Not much needs to be said here. I think there is such a talent like drop off here between the Titans and the Bills. I hate the Bills. I feel you. I'm a Dolphin fan too, just like you guys listening. Give me the Bills to win this game, but I'm going to take Tennessee. They're getting 9.5 points. Plus 9.5. That's the spread. Give me the Titans plus 9.5, but give me the Bills to win that game. And the final game, this right here, has to be one of the games in the week. I mean, I am excited for this. This one right here is something that, I mean, one game that I'm just so excited about. The Minnesota Vikings with Justin Jefferson himself, who's such a damn joy to watch. They got Dalvin Cook. This offense looks awesome to watch. Going against the Philadelphia Eagles, who put up 38 points. Yes, it was against the Lions, but the Eagles are supposed to be good. A.J. Brown over there. Jalen Hurts, who's fun to watch. Yeah, he has a lot of issues that he has to fix, but this Eagles team is fun to watch, and they're probably going to be ahead in the division, probably win the NFC East, and probably be a threat to be reckoned with in the NFC. I love this matchup. Philly at home, too. Vikings are the better team, in my opinion, but Eagles are no joke as well. I think home court matters, though. I keep saying home court, but I mean home field. Home field matters here. In Philly, Philly fan base is nuts. Give me the Eagles to win this game, and give me the Eagles laying the 1.5 points that they're laying. Those are all my picks for week two. Hopefully, I get this 9-6-1 record way better and this 9-7 record against the spread better. I think I will. I really love my picks here. And let me share my best bets here. So, looking at this slate of games, looking at the spreads, the way I just see like high numbers, you got some weird, funky numbers. I don't really like anything that I can bet like too much on. There's not really a lot that I can say this is a lock of the week or you have to take this. It's a little bit dicey here. There's only one play that I'm 100% like really, really comfortable laying a lot of money on, and it's a two-leg parlay. So I'm going to give it to you. It's two things straight up. Kansas City Chiefs and the Bills, both to win. Chiefs to beat the Chargers on Thursday Night Football, and then Bills to beat the Titans on Monday Night Football. So Chiefs to win Thursday night, Bills to win Monday night. They're a long ways away from each other. But you pack that parlay in together, two-leg parlay, that is minus 113 on FanDuel. That is the bet I currently locked in. I think that is my favorite bet of the week. That is a lock right there. I think that has to happen. I mean, I don't see how that goes wrong. Worst comes to worst, like I told you, Chiefs can win on Thursday, and you can always hedge easily by taking the Titans on Monday Night Football, if that happens. Other bet I like is one straight-up bet, and that's the only one I like, is the Colts -4.5. It's minus 108 on FanDuel. I like the Colts in this spot for the reason that I stated. Picking up a tie week one, I mean, what's that about? You got Matt Ryan. You're supposed to be, you know, this team that's the best team in that division. Now you're taking on Jacksonville. Listen, I know Jacksonville's improved, but they're still the Jaguars. Colts got to show why they should win the division. I like the Colts in this spot right here. Laying 4.5 points, I don't think it's too much. I mean, you got to win by a touchdown or more. I don't think they win by three. They got to win by more than that. So I do like the Colts straight up -4.5. It is minus 108 on FanDuel. Those are my best bets of the week. I wish I could give you more plays. If you're looking at leans, I mean, hey, the Minnesota and Eagles game is going to be a toss-up. I mean, right there, you can pick the Vikings, you can pick the Eagles. I think you're either way, like whoever you feel wins that game, that's a fun game to get involved with. Whenever there's a pick 'em, that's one thing that I personally love. I don't know if I'll hop in on that. I might, maybe not. I will let you know through Twitter. But if I had to pick another one that I really like, I do like Seattle a lot, man. Seattle getting 9.5. I am looking at that. I don't know if I'll take it. If it goes to 10, I'm definitely hopping on that. If the Seahawks are getting 10 points against the Niners, I am 100% on that. But right now it's at 9.5. I will watch the movement on that. But yeah, those are my best bets. So we got the Kansas City Chiefs money line parlayed with the Bills money line. That's a two-leg parlay, minus 113 on FanDuel. And then the second play is straight up Colts -4.5. That's minus 108. Taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there you have it. Those are my picks and predictions. Those are my picks against the spreads. Hopefully we make it another winning week, and hopefully we get these records going. I mean, let's have a hot week, why don't we? Let's see how it goes. Week two of the NFL season. This should be a good one. All right, so that's a wrap. Man, what a fun episode that was to record. And hey, what a week. I mean, let's go Dolphins, 1-0. We still celebrating out here. Listen, until we play this next game, best believe it's victory Wednesday, victory Thursday, whatever it is leading up to this Sunday. Like, celebrate while you can. The Dolphins are 1-0 and tied in the AFC East. Listen, hopefully we do get a win. I know I picked them to lose, but hopefully they shut me up. I will be in attendance. I cannot wait for this game. I mean, get to watch Lamar Jackson live. Get to watch Tyreek Hill live with the Aqua and Orange. I'm freaking pumped up. But listen, I am headed out of here. Thank you so much for your support. Love the feedback I've been getting on Twitter and on Facebook. Follow the YouTube channel. We have videos posted on there as well. Just search it up, Miami Sports Vibes, and you will find it on YouTube. Tune into the Basement Sports Network as well. If you're not following them as well, I will be doing like I have been doing. Like I said, post-game shows as well immediately after the Dolphins game. So be sure to check that out. And this podcast isn't going anywhere. You know where to find it every single week. Guys, thank you so much for your continued support once again. And thank you for listening to the Miami Sports Vibes Podcast. with Nando Diaz.